Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Looky here. It's the 13th day of October 2014. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home where you will find the beginnings of the newly redesigned Horn website, courtesy of the inimitable John Fox in Australia. At HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, of course, you will find access to the chat room and to the streams, the various forms of the stream, link to the podcast, and more functionality yet to come in the future. You'll also find the PayPal button. That's how we fund this whole operation. This is contributor-driven, contributor-supported. It is run by our community for our community. Now, in the ordinary course of events, we try to raise about $150 per evening. And I'm proud to say that despite missing two programs last week, we're square for tonight. And that is entirely thanks to Tosh and Brian and Diane and Teresa and Linda and Anthony, Frederick, Dennis, Kath, and Paul, and from Grand Point Enterprise and Irish Dave. All taken together, we cleared up the entire week, even though I was gone Thursday and Friday, and so we begin the week afresh and anew and in no hole. What a delight that is. So thank you one and all to everyone listed and to everyone who keeps this entire process going. Yeah, I'm back. It was a whirlwind tour of New York City. Flew up on Friday, and see, the way it works out is if you want anything other than, say, you know, one of those little knees to your chin air Keebler kind of affairs for your commuter aircraft out of Charleston, West Virginia, you've got an early flight. So that's why I was gone on Thursday, because I had to be down and asleep in order to get up and go Friday. So anyway, yeah, up and out and gone on a rainy Friday morning. It was kind of overcast-ish in New York by the time I arrived there. And I want to thank in particular the staff, the team, the crew, the production outfit there at All In with Chris Hayes for making me very, very welcome. There at Rockefeller Center, broadcast home of MSNBC. Thanks go out to Chris Hayes for inviting me on. We had a delightful, if short, you know, it's TV, it's all going to be short, conversation, and I hope that conversation will continue down the road. It was, and of course, any trip to New York is always amazing, no matter how short it may be. Thanks go out to Pterodactyl, Sarah for being my tour guide in the city that evening. Yeah, one of these days I'll get there and we'll have time for a full-on horn-in with all of the Horn family in the New York area who want to show up and hang out and whatever. But by the time the program was over, about 9 o'clock on Friday night, I was starved. And so Tara took charge, and I got an automobile tour of the nighttime streets of Manhattan, and she drove me down into the Lower East Side, what is it, Houston and Latimer Streets, the corner thereof, and a little joint called Katz's Deli. Oh, my God. What an experience. Nothing quite like it. Place has been open since 1888, so it is, you know, it's for real. And my gracious sakes, everything you could ever. I had a bowl of matzo ball soup, and the matzo ball is the size of a baseball, and delicious. And a half of a corned beef sandwich, and a half of a Nobelwurst. It's a garlic sausage sliced thin, on all of which was on this beautiful, beautiful rye bread that, magnificent. And Tara and I shared some latkes, and I had my first ever New York egg cream. It was wonderful. It's just wonderful. And the idea of that place being constantly in business since 1888. Wow. And they were walking around in the staff wearing T-shirts with what is apparently their old World War II or maybe World War I slogan on them. And I found it charming when I started thinking about it. Send a salami to your boy in the army. Which is an approximate rhyme at best. But then upon thinking about it a little bit, because I'm weird, upon thinking about it a little bit, I realized that, yeah, it's send a salami to your boy in the army is an approximate rhyme if you say it like that. If, however, you use the accent and dialect, if you use the local argot, is it a silent T because it's French? I don't know. But anyway, if you make it a silent R in army, it's a direct, perfect rhyme. Send a salami to your boy in the army. See? Salami, army. Yeah. And I love the music of hearing the accents and all the... Oh, New York is a... Well, it's a special place, especially for Southerners and hillbillies and whatnot. Had a great ride over from the airport into Midtown Manhattan. Looked over, coming across the Queensboro Bridge, at some really, really old buildings. They reminded me of what I'd seen, say, in D.C.'s Chinatown, and up on Capitol Hill. You know, that's architectural style that kind of says, oh, 1880, 1890. And immediately I started to, well, I love the movie Gangs of New York. I've been introduced to a new series that I'm excited to watch more of from Cinemax called The Nick, K-N-I-C-K, about people in New York at that basic roughly estimated time. And I'm looking forward to whiling away a couple of hours watching that. No, I still haven't found my way into Brooklyn. I have to find my way into Brooklyn at some point in time. I've been through Astoria, Queens. Haven't found my way to the Bronx yet. My favorite denizen of Brooklyn, of course, that Academy Award winning rabbit, because that's what went through my head. I looked down on all those old buildings, and I thought back to Bugs singing, "She was the daughter of Rosie O'Grady, a regular old-fashioned Khalil." Hey, look, I'm dancing. I'm simple. But most important of all, lest I get carried away, was the opportunity to tell more people about what's going on in Appalachia, mountaintop removal, the human rights, human health, and ecological disaster being perpetrated every day. Dr. Bill had a wonderful discussion earlier today of Thomas Jefferson's remarks regarding life being for the living. And I chimed in, and we talked a little bit about that, and all within the context, of course, of Columbus Day. I desperately want to see this country stop celebrating Columbus Day. It is odious in the extreme. Christopher Columbus, Cristobal Colon, was a brutal, egomaniacal, genocidal, homicidal, mercenary, criminal monster. And that's not just my opinion. His own words bear him out. And it is damned well about time that we stop celebrating genocide. Seriously. The state of West Virginia has, as a state holiday, in which is a paid day off for state workers in West Virginia, Columbus Day. Now, I've been a state worker, and it's not, and the pay is not great, and it's nice to have an acknowledged paid day off once in a while, and it's nice that there's one that comes in the fall. But do we not think that we have enough gumption to figure out some way to celebrate a fall holiday without celebrating genocide? Because that's what this is. And it was genocide from the beginning. The indigenous people who were living in the Bahamas when Columbus lived there, they pretty much wiped out. Lucayo, Taino. Yeah, Carol pointing out via Skype. I call today, "Give me your land or I'll kill you day." And that's largely true, save for